Our guest today is a seasoned product leader who's driven digital transformation initiatives at global travel brands like Sarah Group. She's spearheaded the launch of new B2B booking systems and cross-sell products that achieved $2 million in gross booking value within 6 months. And previously, she's led multiple products for Azavista, a global event management platform serving Fortune 500 clients. And there, she drove the transformation to a subscription model and revamped UX to enable three times the then product usage. She's also, coolly enough, the founder of the first chapter of Product Tank in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Please join me in welcoming Shayla Vatresh, who's the senior product manager at the Sarah Group. Shayla, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Zain. I'm super happy to be here.
Awesome. So let's start from the very, very beginning. How did you get into product management as a career?
For me, it's always a funny one, right? Because every single one of us who started in this field a few years back, we sort of got into it accidentally, right? Because at that point, there were no product at universities, for sure. Mm. And even product academies, schools, courses were not a thing, or they were not like a big thing. So for me, what happened is that I started working in marketing of this small startup. And this startup had two founders, one being CTO, another one being a CEO with the design background. They both had their own individual, separate, thriving businesses. So the startup that they founded together was not necessarily always the highest priority. So all the people that were working there, I would always be the one who got initially stuck working a lot with designers and engineers. I started liking it actually a lot. I started doing it more and more until I realized that I actually don't want to do anything else. And here I am a few years later.
That's really nice. What was your first PM job, and what were some of the biggest lessons you learned early on?
There's a lot of lessons because the scope of work of this role is huge, right? I think all of the product people would agree on this one. For me, it's ability to be humble. And that's something that I mentioned a lot. Recently, I wrote an article for all of the aspiring product managers and what they should know before transitioning into this field. And this is one of the things that I mentioned, right? Because humility and being humble means sometimes serving your customers, serving your team and supporting your team, but very often is being okay with not being right and not getting things right all the time. Because as product managers, we're making decisions all the time, big decisions, small decisions. We are having discussions, and a lot of time, unfortunately, we're not going to be right. We're not going to get it right. Our decisions are going to be wrong, and we need to be able to be okay with that, to let it go, and to just simply move on. Other than that, there are a couple of things that I've learned, not necessarily in this first role, but throughout my career. And this is often something that I always give it as an advice for anyone who wants to progress or enter this field, is importance of curiosity, importance of being as resourceful as possible, and really obsessed with data. I know there's a lot of things here, but the combination of all of these things, I think that this is like a formula for success in product management.
I love that. You also have a marketing background originally. How has that shaped your approach to product?
I have a love-hate relationship with this background, and obviously I cannot change it. But there's a lot of discussions in product. Are you a technical or non-technical product manager? And it's so funny, right? Because in some industries, some sectors, you would not be taken seriously if you are not a technical product manager, while in some others, this business and marketing background is something that is way more valuable than any technical expertise. I struggled a lot, and I worked a lot, really, really hard to get my understanding of technology in a level sufficient enough to have productive conversations as product manager. But to be completely honest, in all the companies where I have worked for, my understanding of business and business acumen in general is something that was far more valuable for me. So far, I think it's even gotten to the point where if you have business, good business acumen, but let's say medium level of understanding technology, you can really, really hit the right spot to be a really good product manager.
And I think a part of being a good product manager as well is knowing how to convince stakeholders. Like, do you have any like stories around a time when you had to pivot or course correct based on user feedback and how you convinced stakeholders?
So many. I don't know where to start, to be honest, because one of the challenges even of my current role is especially C-level stakeholder management, because I work as a product manager for digital transformation of two different brands, right? One of these brands is, both of them are in travel and tourism. And one of the brands is leisure tourism, where we are trying to attract people from all over the world to, let's say, brand new destination that is becoming increasingly popular. And another brand is religious tourism, which comes with a completely new set of challenges, right? And the whole idea of this digital transformation is to move those two businesses, their entire technology stack and processes, into the ecosystem of the group within we operate, right? So it's a legacy technology. Those are legacy processes. Some of the people working in those companies are there for 15, 20 years because one of the businesses were acquired. So managing this type of stakeholders is very difficult. They are very resistant to change, very resistant to technology in general. And there's a couple of times where I needed to pivot, sometimes more, sometimes less. But the idea, and this is something that I would say people forget about when it comes to digital technology, that you need to encompass both online and offline channel. So if, as a product, a software product managers, I would bring everything online, right? But part of my job is understanding my stakeholders, understanding their needs, and understanding their ability to change and speed by which they are going to change. And based on that, say, okay, this is the online, this is the offline part that we are going to cover. So that pivot is one of the examples, I would say, of managing those stakeholders and pivoting.
And what are some of the go-to frameworks or methods that you kind of lean on when you're tackling like complex product challenges? Do you have any frameworks or do you kind of just wing it at times?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them that I really enjoy using, to be honest, that I really believe in. Maybe believe in is a better wording. One that I find myself using the most always is continuous discovery habits. This is something that I'm quite passionate about and something that I found useful in majority of the industries, majority of the products, regardless B2B, B2C, and etc.
So as a PM, how do you balance vision with delivering incremental value, but quickly? Like how are some of the best ways you could PMs can deliver on that?
Majority of our job is balancing something. We're always balancing something. I was mentioning before, balancing online and offline, but at the same time, especially for me now with digital transformation and where my job is more strategic than it is on the execution side, I need to have this big picture all the time, but also be very pragmatic when it comes to it. I need to be very strategic, but I need to be also adaptive. And this adaptiveness is the key, I would say, because you have strategic goals. Those strategic goals are not happening overnight. So what is important to keep in mind is that all of the small steps that you're going to take in the meantime are just going to be completely aligned with the strategic objectives. Keeping your eyes on the ball.
What are some of your favorite tools that you use today? What does your stack look like?
Oh, that's an interesting one. One of my favorite ones, and I'm not sure even if it's that popular, to be honest, is Miro. Some people are pronouncing it Miro. So it's such an amazing tool. Such an amazing tool for strategizing. It has a lot of templates that can help you with brainstorming sessions, organizing meetings, setting up your roadmaps, and etc. At the same time, you can just build on your own outside of templates, whatever you want to serve any purposes. But also, you can build some quite high fidelity wireframes as well. So just overall, it's such a good tool. Exporting all of those frames, sharing and collaborating with your team, really, really. That's one of the tools that I enjoy the most. Other than that, for delivery, it would probably go around Jira, Confluence, and DevStack. Yeah, I think that would be it. Obviously, data tools, Tableau, GA, bunch of metrics. Especially in this company, we're very focused on data, both quantitative and qualitative. So yeah, I think this is what my day-to-day tool set looks like.
I love that. How do you turn an idea into a product? Like, walk us through your ideal like innovation process, and how do you spark creativity when you kind of reach a certain area where you see their constraints?
I can maybe give you an example because I already spoke about continuous discovery habits and how important that discovery part is in product development in general. Before managing digital transformation for travel and tourism, I used to work for a B2C product and it was a hotel booking platform. And over there, and it was one of my first projects, right? So I will always put an emphasis on setting a team culture before you start anything else. Even though it's not our official scope of work as product managers, but we are sort of responsible for setting this culture and having a team that has a positive attitude towards the work and initiative that you are bringing to them, right? And this is such an amazing base for everything else that is coming. At least for me, I really believe in this. Once that is there, discovery, talking to your customers, getting data to get as many insights as possible. So this example that I would love to give is about the reputation management system. One of the things that kept repeating and repeating and repeating in discovery interviews that we had with our customers is they need reviews. They like our platform, they like the UX and UI of it, and the pricing of our products was something that they appreciated. However, they would come, they would find a hotel on our platform, though they would go to a competing product to see reviews and come back to us to book. So obviously that was something that turned from that insight opportunity for us. From that moment on, we started testing few solutions that would work best. Once we identified what it is, we still didn't go and jump completely into this big implementation that is back-end heavy and etc. What we did is a small proof of concept to see how things are going to work out. Things ended up working amazingly, and that was the point where we decided, okay, this is the point where we need to now build a business case to actually start the proper implementation. Again, another example of pivoting because we ended up selecting a third-party solution for our reputation management system, which collects, moderates, and publishes reviews for the platform. After a few months of unsuccessfully implementing the solution that was just not adequate for our needs, we decided to pivot and build something in-house from scratch. Once we did that, we realized, okay, this is another opportunity because this is the first time when we started analyzing the data we were getting, we realized that this is the first time ever that company has some very unique data points that they never had before that can serve as the basis for different loyalty programs, for optimizing our marketing efforts, and so on, that can serve as a further discovery input for our design, product design teams. So we decided to build an internal tool that is going to not only serve for collecting, moderating, and publishing this user-generated content, but also serve as an internal tool for marketing and design discovery purposes.
That's very detailed, Sari. I love that.
Sorry, you asked for an example, so I figured this would paint a picture.
Yes, it did. It did. If you could snap your fingers to change one thing about the state of product management, what would that thing be?
I would go with this one. There's a lot of people entering product management lately, right? It is a cool field to be in, right? But very often people don't know what they are getting themselves into, as blunt as this may sound, right? And with that comes a lot of frustration on a day-to-day basis, a lot of frustration that get translated into how you build your product, how your squad influences all of the other squads within the company on the product culture and etc. So yeah, the first thing that would come to my mind is actually to people who are entering product management field, really know what they're getting themselves into, research, talk to other PMs, and really try to extract as much information about the role and the field itself, because it's not for everyone. It's a very specific role with a lot of challenges. It is fun, but for a specific group of people, not for everyone. I would put it that way.
I agree. It's you have to be very specific and also very broad at the same time. Requires a lot of context switching.
Juggling.
Yes. So this is my last question here. I ask everyone this question who comes on the show. What's one weakness that you've turned into your strength?
Well, I have to be honest. I know that you ask everyone this specific question. I started thinking and I always had only one thing on my mind. And this is not something I'm very proud of, to be honest. I'm not very patient as a person. And this is something that is for me work in progress, both professionally and personally. But at some point, I realized that something that I considered to be a flaw for so, so long is actually something that helped me achieve results, helped me get things done. So instead of completely erasing it, I just learned how to manage it and turn it into strength, because I know that this is now the same thing that helped me challenge the status quo and push for things to start moving or to move faster within company. And this is something that companies appreciate.
I love that. Shayla, thank you so much for joining us today on the Same Logic podcast. Where can our listeners find you if they'd love to connect?
Yes, so I am on LinkedIn/ STJLAVATRES, and also Medium. I started writing a little bit more about product management lately, so anyone who is interested in the field can check my profile on Medium and read some of the articles. I would love to hear people's opinion.
Thanks for listening to the Same Logic podcast. To stay in touch, please follow us on LinkedIn or the podcast app you're listening to this on right now for more episodes. I'm Dwayne Samuels. Take care.